Tuus qui venturus es, an alium expectamus. Are you he who is to come, or should we wait for another? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It is a strange question that St. John the Baptist has his disciples ask of our Lord Jesus Christ in today's Holy Gospel. John, you may recall, has been imprisoned for his defense of the institution of marriage. King Herod had sought to take the wife of his living brother as his own, and by making a public rebuke of the king's immorality, John would soon suffer martyrdom in defense of the Mosaic law and the truth about marriage. Yet even from prison, it is a most strange question for St. John the Baptist to ask our Lord, asking him who he is, whether or not he is the Messiah. John, almost more than anyone else, knows who Jesus is. It is he who leaps in his mother's womb at the approach of our Blessed Mother and of our Lord at the Visitation, bearing thus witness to our Lord before he has even seen the light of day. Years later, and more clearly yet, it is John who proclaims upon first seeing Jesus at the baptism in the Jordan River, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said," says St. John, "after me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me." So how can John, who makes such an eloquent confession of Christ's divinity and redemptive mission, thereafter ask our Lord who he is? Many parents and superiors have often made a similar experience to St. John. Often those committed to their charge are not always perfectly disposed to hear and to retain even the simplest of truths. How often have we seen a student, a son, a subordinate, who has been told countless times by his teacher, his father, his superior, something as simple as a fact, like, for example, playing with fire is dangerous. Headstrong, he may persist in a certain pyromania, unable by pride or folly to hear wisdom from his betters, until at last, having burned himself, he is ready to announce to the whole world that he has discovered on his own that fire is indeed dangerous. For good measure, he may even say that he wished someone had told him beforehand. So many times in our lives, we poor sinners are not ready to receive wisdom and correction from our Lord or those to whom he has given legitimate authority over us, be they parents or other superiors. However, in his divine love and providence, in his patience, our Lord will often provide that we learn by experience what we refuse to learn by simple childlike trust, just as we see in the Holy Gospel today. John the Baptist knows perfectly well who our Lord Jesus Christ is, as he has already publicly proclaimed it. But as St. John Chrysostom explains, he sends two disciples whom he knows will not believe him if he commands them outright to leave him, that is St. John, and follow the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. They would think that John is speaking merely out of humility, and so would refuse to leave their master's side. John, therefore, astutely has them be the bearers of his question to Jesus, so that by seeing and observing our Lord for themselves and the works he performs, they might, with the help of our Lord's grace, draw the correct conclusion on their own that they would not have been willing to receive from another person that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And so they ask of our Lord, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" It is a remarkable thing to imagine the scene in all of its detail. Here is our Lord Jesus Christ, the light born before the dawn, as we chant on the Feast of the Purification. Here is the Word of God made flesh. If these two men had already listened to the preaching of St. John the Baptist, if they had studied the scriptures carefully, the prophecies of Moses, David, Isaiah, and Daniel, they would recognize the Davidic heir before their eyes, the divine priest, prophet, king, and suffering servant come to deliver them from sin. But instead, And as we might easily imagine, with a certain impetuousness, perhaps even rudeness, they ask, "Who are you?" Our Lord could have very easily taken offense, as St. Francis de Sales comments. How often are we, poor men, so offended when our merits and name go unrecognized, when we are asked simply to explain ourselves. Yet here is the uncreated wisdom. He who has filled our world with marvelous wonders that never cease to speak of him, and he nevertheless condescends to respond simply saying, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." St. Francis de Sales says, "Our Lord answers thus to teach us that it is our works and not our words that give testimony to what we are, we who are so full of pride." Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. The blessed season of Advent is an occasion for us to rectify our faith, to recenter our lives on our Lord Jesus Christ. So often we are slow to listen to the voice of our Lord as he speaks through those around us and through the very events of our lives. It is an occasion for us, like the disciples of St. John the Baptist, to correct our idea of the Messiah. What kind of Messiah are we waiting for? Are we certain that we are that different from the unbelieving Jews whose views of the Messiah were ultimately so worldly? Are we so caught up in our own ideas of how the world and the church should be saved from present dangers that we ignore our Lord's own voice in our lives, in the voice of our pastors, in the voice of our family, in the very events that unfold before us? Do we too easily surrender our time, and more importantly, our inner peace, when the devil comes bearing news of a new scandal, whether it be in Washington or in Rome? Should we be ignorant of the world around us? Certainly not. It is good for a Catholic to be informed, not the least to do penance and reparation in response to so many scandals. But to be informed is not to be enslaved to the winds of popular sentiment, whether it don the disguise of a liberal or a conservative. Should we be ignorant of the world around us? No. But how much more should we not be ignorant of the world within us? How often do we mistake the presence of our Lord in our lives for something else? How often does he speak to us through a certain trial or difficulty, a cross which he sends us, through the words of a family member, or maybe a certain priest or friend, through a certain moment of prayer? As the psalmist says, "Oh, that today you would listen to his voice, harden not your hearts." Instead of heeding his voice, how quick are we to respond to a trial with impatience and anger? We lash out at those closest to us, or we let resentment take root in our hearts. It is as though we turn to our Lord as well and ask, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? Are you really the God who will save me from my sins and destroy my predominant fault? Are you really the God who will give me the graces I need to conquer my habitual sins of impurity, selfishness, of pride? Are you really and truly God?" we ask in desperation. And how often indeed do we look for another, as we worship false idols of pleasure and self-will, as we settle for less than what we are worth? It is why our blessed Lord proclaims, perhaps not without a note of sadness, "Blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." As St. Gregory the Great notes, our Lord is alluding to the cross, to his blessed passion. It is as though he were to say, "You have seen the many miracles of my divinity, the many miracles I have worked in your life. Believe also my divinity in my suffering, in your suffering." He thus commands us courage in the trial that every Christian must face following his blessed master. We are proud to confess that our crucified King is God, but how often do we deny that very confession when we refuse to accept the very crosses he sends us for our sanctification, especially now during the Passion of Holy Mother Church. Let us embrace, therefore, this holy season and prepare for the renewed advent of our true God in our souls. We could find no better place to begin than by remembering, like the disciples of St. John the Baptist, the marvels we see at work before our very eyes, indeed as Catholics, within our own lives. With Don Prosper Guéranger, let us exclaim to our King, "It was indeed you, O Lord, who were to come, and we must not wait for another." We were blinded by error. Christ has given us the light of faith. We were stumbling in our sins. Christ strengthened our walk. The leprosy of sin covered us. By his precious blood, the Lamb of God healed us. We were deaf to his voice. He has raised us to a new understanding, a new hearing. We were dead through our many faults. He has given us new life. These are the fruits, says Don Guéranger, of our true Messiah's visit to our souls, accomplished in a heart moved by the love of our God. Indeed, he exclaims, "Come, O Savior, your abasement and familiarity will not scandalize me, for your works in souls say enough that you are God. It is because you created them that you can heal them." Let us open our hearts, therefore, to our Lord's love by a generous combat against our predominant faults during this season of Advent. The humble acceptance of the trials he sends us, the loving embrace of the cross, is the highest confession of his divinity and love. Having so recently celebrated our Immaculate Queen, the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, let us be pleased to recall that our Blessed Mother freely embraced, in becoming the Mother of God, all of our Lord's saving mission. Bethlehem, yes, and its sweetness, but also the cross, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. It was thus by her merits that we poor sinners were to receive the preaching of the gospel that she kept so carefully in her immaculate heart. By her intercession, may we merit anew to celebrate faithfully the coming of our infant God and King. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.